following message is from a guest speaker of Emmanuel Community Church. More information about the ministry of Emmanuel Community Church can be found at emmanuelcommunity.org.
Congratulations to you all graduates. Seriously, well done, well done. As someone who is also in school currently, I truly mean that, and I'm a little jealous of you guys, to be honest. So to every graduate in this room, whether you're finishing elementary, middle school, high school, or finishing college, we as your church are so proud of you. And a shout out, of course, to all the parents who have Ubered them, or will continue to Uber them forever. Now, before we celebrate, though, I do want to ask you this question. Now that you are done with a chapter, graduating out of a stage in your life, what are you actually hoping for? Like, let's be honest. The real question, the real answer, not the one that we give in a Sunday school, but the ones that's hidden beneath all the layers. Could it be perhaps, you know, I can finally, you know, leave this town, you know, be away from my family, my parents, I don't know. For some of you younger ones, I can finally allow to get a phone, you know, get a social media account. For others, I finally get to reinvent myself. Nobody at this new school would know me, know the old me, about all the skeletons in the closets. Maybe I can finally get some cooler friends. You know, I can finally get away from that person who has been driving me insane for the past 4 years of my life. Or I can finally land that dream job and my parents can finally be proud of me and brag during the Thanksgiving meetings. Or maybe I can finally figure out my purpose and find some meaning in life. You know, we walk into new seasons with this quiet, desperate hope that this time, this moment, this transition, things will be a little different. That the next chapter will finally fix what the last one couldn't. And today, I want to talk to you about what happens when God interrupts that very hope. Not to kill it, but to do something in it that only He can do. So with that in mind, let's read the scripture verse for today. It's in Genesis chapter 32, verse 22 to 32. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions, so Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called that place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he has passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to his day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. I want to start off with sharing a story. I already shared this to my students before, but I thought it would be a good illustration for us today. It's a little embarrassing, but so around March this year, I was hanging out with a group of our youth parents, you know, and we were at the cafe, just chilling, having a good time. And, you know, some of them are here in this room, you know who you are. And the conversation somehow turned to my love life, which, you know, is always fun. They had questions, you know, they had questions like, "What's wrong with you, praise?" No. No, it wasn't that. They weren't harsh, just a little teasing, but mainly was praise, like, "So why aren't you dating? Or what are you looking for? Who are you looking for?" And they were genuinely worried. Genuinely, they were trying to give me solutions, you know, guidance, you know, because, you know, they walked a little longer than I have. So they will say, like, "Praise, physical appearance, it's not all about that, okay? I mean, look, was I attracted to my husband in the beginning? No. But right now, hey, a lot of wisdom, guys, a lot of wisdom. Thank you. And by the end, what it came down to was this. Get on dating apps. And just like that, the next day, I downloaded all of them. Minus Tinder, okay? Guys, chill, relax, all right? I have standards, all right? Now, I wasn't, like, super serious about it, but, like, also I kind of was. You know what I mean, you know? Like, that feeling like, you know, you're just kind of, like, browsing, but at the same time, you're like, in Jesus' name. Like, dang it, you know? Like, so, yeah. Yeah, okay? So, now you make your profile like you do, and I decided, you know, I was going to be myself. I want to be direct, be truthful, be transparent. No games. So my bio basically said, word for word, guys. Number one, I'm looking for hot and holy. Number two, you need to have a US citizenship because I need that green card ASAP. Three, you need to make more money than me because I'm a youth pastor, so I can't get you that BMW. Word for word, that's what I put on that bio. Now, surprisingly, guys, I got hits, okay? I know. But it's like, they're either like a little like older, but like rich, you know, like Chicago lawyer rich, or like they're really young and they like K-pop. But most of them don't go to church. So, hey, for the kingdom, right? Yeah? No, just kidding. I said no, didn't want to waste time. And the last thing you need in ICC is a rumor that there's a youth pastor going around hunting for girls. So I did it. But, surprisingly, with those reactions that I was getting, I started to notice something shifted within my heart. See, I started opening the app constantly, you know, and I got a little excited. To be honest, dreaming a little bit too, you know, thinking like just going through them, like, you know what? Yeah, I could produce a Asian. They're cute, right? I had these little excitement, and to be true, I started fantasizing, like, what would my life look like with this woman here who says they find me attractive and they're willing to go to church for me. I started actually having hope that this little app on my phone was going to solve multiple problems in my life all at once. And then one day, a message appeared, and I opened it, and it said, true story, word for word, hey, I'm not what you're looking for, and that's okay, but I just want to say your bio made me chuckle. So I said, oh, thank you. Now, what she replied next, after that, I don't know how to describe it, but more, it felt like a jab, all right? And I didn't see it coming. What she said is this. I hope I'm not coming across the wrong way, but it's pretty clear what you want, but my question is, what can you offer? What can you offer? Wow. And I sat there with my phone, not knowing how to respond. Just in my bed, the longest time, I was like, wow. Because in that moment, something became really clear to me. Something I hadn't fully admitted to myself until a stranger on the dating app said in four words. So I went back and looked at my own bio. Hot and holy, US citizenship, makes more money than me. And I realized that this wasn't just a wish list. No. See, this was a rescue plan. I've taken three real legitimate fears and I dressed them up as a dating preference. The loneliness that I feel as a single person. The visa situation, because my future in this country is genuinely uncertain. And a lot of my decision is based upon that. And the financial insecurity, because I'm a youth pastor, and if you know, you know. Without realizing it, I had placed all that weight, that burden, onto an app, onto a profile, onto a person who doesn't even exist yet, and I was asking a human being to fill that God-sized void. That question, what can you offer? She wasn't just asking about me, she was exposing what I was asking of her, of others. And it was too much. It was always going to be too much for any person. That question exposed something in me, exposed a whole hidden room of insecurity, doubt, comparisons, things I had dressed up with spiritual language like, I'm secure because I have faith. I'm okay because I trust God. But beneath all of that, I quietly let this app and a couple of profiles on it start to define my worth, my value, my hope for the future. What I went looking for connection, for love, for someone, it actually ended up being the very thing that exposed how much I was building my identity on fragile grounds. The very thing that I thought would be something that would bring life, excitement, something to look forward to, was the very thing that actually brought me more trouble. But I think that's exactly the grace I needed from God, the exposure that I needed. Because you see, within my trouble, God met me with more trouble. Not to crush me, but to redirect me, to expose what was already there, the hidden idols, the buried fears, the things I had quietly placed in the high places of my heart, right next to my faith, and somehow thinking that this was okay, that this is normal, and every other Christians go through it. God met me in my trouble with more trouble, so that I would stop trying to fix the surface and finally see what was hidden beneath. This book here is a devotional Bible right here, which is the graduation gift that Calis seniors, you have received today. The author, Paul Tripp, gives language to this exact tension in a way that has profoundly shifted my life. And in reference to the scripture reading of Genesis 32, I want to read a passage to you directly. It's pretty long, but stay with me. It's I hope it blesses you guys. Genesis 32. Genesis 32 gives us the strangest wrestling match that has ever taken place. At first, it just seems weird and bizarre, but the more you examine the story, the more you realize what a gift and blessing the struggle was. And what a perfect picture it is for us today of how God meets us by his grace. Jacob is on his way home to Canaan after 20 years stay in Paddan Aram. But rather than being glad to be going home, he is terrified of the anger of his brother Esau, who is on his way to meet him with 400 men. Jacob is convinced this is not a celebratory greeting party, but the army of an angry man who wants vengeance. As fear would cause, Jacob is having a restless and sleepless night when a strange man shows up and begins to wrestle with him. At some point during the match, Jacob realizes he's wrestling with God and says he will not let go until God blesses him. God not only blesses him, but leaves him with a new identity. Israel strives with God. And this is more than a name. It is a foreshadowing of the huge role Jacob will have in the plan of God. It is important that we pay attention to how God meets, blesses, and strengthens Jacob. It is a picture of how God's grace often operates in our lives. In times of trouble, we think grace will come to us as a cool drink, a soft pillow, a reassuring hug. We don't expect God to interrupt times of trouble with more trouble. But as Jacob is now wrestling with God, he is no longer thinking fearfully about Esau. His heart turns towards the Lord rather than escape from Esau. And what he longs for is blessing from his Lord. God will use whatever he thinks is best to draw our hearts and minds to him, to cause us to cry out for the blessing of his grace and to deepen in us a sense of what it means to be his children. In love, God will come to us and trouble our trouble, because that interruption is exactly what we need so we don't lose our sense of who we are and what we have been blessed with as his children. God's grace comes to us in many different forms. God's grace is not always comfortable. Sometimes the last thing we think we need is, in God's hand, exactly what we need. God will wrestle with you, not to weaken you and defeat you, but to leave you blessed, renewed, and strengthened, even if you limp away. No interruption is more important than divine interruption. There are tools of the grace we need, delivered by a God who always knows the right time and will always chooses the best way. It is quite clear here in Jacob that Jacob was in trouble and he was running. He had a real legitimate, terrifying problem. A brother who wanted to kill him, a past that he couldn't outrun, and a future that looked like 400 men coming over the hills to come after his life. And in the middle of this very moment, one sleepless, restless, desperate night, God didn't send a text message to encourage him, saying, "Don't worry, I got you. I got your angry brother Esau handled. Don't worry." No, God doesn't send him comfort. No, he showed up and he actually starts a fight. And here's what's amazing about this. Once Jacob was locked in with that wrestling match, he stopped thinking about his brother Esau. His fear didn't disappear. The reality didn't change, but his gaze shifted. He went from being stressed, anxious, frightened from his problem to now clinging to his God. And he walked away with a limp and a new name and a blessing. That limp wasn't punishment. That limp was proof, a reminder that God was there, that God was in this with him. Graduates, I know it's exciting as we look into the next chapter of our lives. And as we face it, perhaps you're hoping it'll give you belonging. Finally, a friend or group that will actually get you, that you don't have to perform for or be fake. Or maybe you're hoping for freedom, to have the liberty to be whoever you want away from whatever you were back before. Maybe you're hoping it'll give you a sense of worth, a degree, a title, a job, a number in your bank account that finally makes you feel that those all-nighter studies that you've done for your exams finally pays off. And maybe some of those will come, and I hope they do, I truly do. But here's what I need to tell you with love and exhortation. We do not graduate out of our problems. The loneliness you're running from, it has a forwarding address, and it will find you in that new city. The insecurity you've been covering up with your hard work, the new job will expose it in different ways they never felt before. The need for validation that you've been feeding with your achievements, the next achievement will probably satisfy you for 2 weeks. Because we're not just broken on the outside, we are broken in the deep places within our souls. And a new zip code doesn't reach those deep places. A new season, a new school doesn't reach the deep places. Only God reaches the deepest places in our hearts. And because he loves you, and because he's so committed to you, he will come to you in your trouble and trouble your trouble. Not to destroy you, but to redirect you, to do what only a divine interruption can do. Turn your gaze from your fear, from your escape plan, and have it towards him. So don't be discouraged when you run towards those new relationships and you meet with more loneliness, more disappointment and hurt that finally drives you to God as your only sanctuary. Or if you run towards reinvention and he may expose the parts of you that need not a new image, but a character and a new heart. Or if you run towards achievement and he may let the work that you are now with feel so hollow and shallow until you understand that any work under heaven, any work, no matter how big the paycheck is, cannot give you the rest your soul is actually looking for. This is not cruelty, guys. This is grace. Strange, uncomfortable, wrestling grace. Grace that shows up in the middle of the night and doesn't let go until it has finally blessed you. So here is what I want to leave you with, graduates. Please don't be offended, afraid of the divine interruptions. When the new season doesn't deliver what you hoped, when the new school feels just as lonely as the old one, when you open an app and someone asks, what can you offer? And you don't know the answer, don't run. Don't cover it up. Don't dress it up in spiritual language and pretend you're okay. No, allow God to trouble your troubles. Let him wrestle with you because he's not trying to defeat you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to give you something no app, no achievement, no friends, no fresh start could ever give you. And that is true identity. A sense of whose you are that does not depend on what you have accomplished or what the next chapter of your life looks like. Jacob limped away from that place, to be frank, for the rest of his life, with a limp forever. But he limped away blessed. And more than that, he limped away with a new name, Israel. He walked away knowing something about God and something about himself that no comfortable night, no person, no building, no work could have taught him. The limp was worth it. God is going to meet you in this next season, maybe not in the way that you expect, maybe even in ways that might even trigger some of your past dreadful memories. But don't run. Hold on to God's grace for you, because he will meet you there, he will heal you there, and he will bless you. Let us pray.